God of our forebears, who paved the way for our being in this place. Help us now to give up complacency, truly love one another, and hunger and thirst after righteousness. As we come to you, may your bread of heaven and cup of salvation feed our souls with peace and unspeakable joy. In the name of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Throughout time, humans have referred to heaven as a state of ultimate joy and a place of perfect peace. Singers have sung about it, poets and theologians have written about it, romantics have fantasized about it, preachers have preached about it. Heaven has offered hope and comfort millions upon millions, especially to those who suffered greatly on this earth, that one day when their pilgrimage here is over, they will have a home in heaven, a place where the wicked shall cease from troubling, and the weary shall be at rest. It is not just a belief for Christians, but those in a number of faith traditions also believe in a heaven-like state or place when they die. We have all thought about heaven. Most of us heard about heaven as children. It was where grandmother or grandfather or other relatives went when they died. And for many of us, there is the belief that we will reunite with them in heaven when we die. In the Baptist church of my childhood, I learned that heaven existed as a pretty amazing, a pretty cool place. The clergy and church members sang, prayed, and talked about heaven. They communicated to me vivid imagery of heaven as a place literally with sterling waters, starry crowns, and streets paved with gold. This heaven made such an impact on me that I entitled my first sermon in high school, "I Want to Go to Heaven, and You Do Too." Now, such a statement may have been rather presumptuous on my part, but I could not imagine anyone wanting to go to the alternative, hell. The theology and church doctrine of the National Baptist Church did not allow babies to be baptized. Everyone had to give a profession of his or her faith in order to be saved and baptized. Those who died before such a confession were considered sinners doomed to the fire and brimstone of hell. Well, I was no dummy. I knew that the hell deal did not sound like fun. So at the age of 10, I walked down the aisle to the front of the church and said to the pastor and congregation that I was tired of being a sinner and wanted to give my life to the Lord. As you can imagine, the church went up that this wretched 10-year-old sinner had finally gotten his life straight with God. It is not often that one can say that here he heard fire and brimstone preached in a sermon at an Episcopal church. But you can say that you heard that today. A recent Pew Research study found that the overwhelming majority of adults in the United States believe in an afterlife. Nearly 75% believe in heaven. And while it is understandable why we believe in heaven, a lasting comfort, that our loved ones have gone to a better place in the loving, eternal embrace of God, we do not have friends and family members coming back to tell us what heaven is like. Or do we? There are a number of people who have had what is termed as near-death experiences. In these cases, individuals have been pronounced as clinically dead, and they report briefly leaving this realm, being able to look down on their bodies and describe in detail what occurred to them and the people around them. Individuals go on to say that they entered a space that was incandescent with great warmth, a beautiful place that is thought to be heaven. The book, Heaven is for Real, and its film version released earlier this year, provides a startling detail of a Nebraska 4-year-old, Colton Burple, having an experience of heaven during a surgery 10 years ago. And while Colton is never pronounced as clinically dead, he encounters his great-great-grandfather, who died decades before he was born. And he is later able to share details about him and another deceased family member with his parents, who he never knew. This phenomenon strikes many as that holy mystery of heaven, and possibly a glimpse as to what heaven may be like. Today's Gospel, Matthew provides an account of Jesus sharing with his disciples what heaven is like. Here, Jesus tells them that heaven is like a landowner. In this metaphor, the landowner goes out early in the morning and hires day laborers for his vineyard. They begin a full day's work. Later in the morning, others come and work, and in the afternoon, he hires two more sets of workers. And at the end of the day, the landowner asks a group that is just standing around, "Why aren't you working?" And they say, "Because no one is hired." So for 1 hour, this last group works, and after the hour, they get paid the same amount as those who worked all day. Now, in first reading about this situation of the day laborers, I think that we can understand the frustration, the complaining of the workers who had worked all day but received no more wages than those who worked for 1 hour. It certainly appears unfair, especially in our work culture. We might all want that kind of job, to show up for 1 hour and work and get paid for a whole day's work. When the first workers came, they complained that they should get more because they worked longer. It is at this point that the landowner reminds them that no deal has been broken. They received what they were promised, the daily wage. This group, however, did not consider the unbroken promise. Their attention shifted to those coming last, getting paid just as much as they were paid. So on the surface, one might say that it is just a matter of justice. You get what you work for. But here Jesus wants to make a point about God and God's grace and God's beloved community. Like the landowner, God does not care when we come to the vineyard. When we come into God's kingdom, the first is the last, and the last is the first. This story reminds us of the vastness of God's grace. It is a reminder that God's generosity extends beyond what our limited minds hold as fair. Biblical scholars surmise that Jesus offers this story to inform us that all have an equal place in God's community. Those who are new to the faith, as the disciples were, as many of us are received with the same acceptance in heaven as the long-time patriarchs and matriarchs of that time and now. As we engage this text, this morning, what else might the Spirit want us to consider, not only about heaven, but about God's community on earth? The Spirit in me is not okay with keeping this community in the sweet by and by, for it is so removed from us. But I think that as God's people, we should always work to bring about God's kingdom on earth. I believe that is what we are calling for when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Moreover, this example is a challenge to us to consider the needs and families of those who are new, young, and last to our community, as those who have been with us. Sometimes we get in the way of hearing those coming to us. It is not that they did not want to work earlier, but no one had heard them. Today, let us hear their voices. No one has hired us. The day laborers who started early in the morning failed to consider that this group that came late also had needs, as they had needs, also had families to care for, as they had families to care for, also had children to feed, as they had children to feed. As our associate rector, the Reverend Liz Tischer, reminded us last week, that God called us to be mindful of those who live in fear, and the life that they enjoy with us can be ripped from them at any time. As I think about the reaction of the first, I'm reminded of what is becoming more common around us. We are living at a time when there are those in our midst who receive their share, but can easily lose sight of the needs of others. In a world inundated with the politics of difference, we can become blind about the needs of work and wages of our neighbors and fearful that their coming late will take away from us. The workers complaining to the landowner draw a striking parallel to the ever-complaining Israelites in the wilderness. Old Testament lesson, the Israelites go to Moses complaining that they will die of starvation. What is so fascinating is that they got so lost in their complaining that they could not see their blessing after the dew had disappeared. They did not know that God had provided them with bread on the ground. In the midst of their doubts and complaints, God had shown God's faithfulness to them by providing for them in unexpected ways. Sisters and brothers, the message today is not that we should not protest and complain about the problems that are around us that need attention. To be sure, the current news stories of domestic and family violence, the plane tragedies, the Ebola crisis, wars breaking out all over the world, and potential wars of 2014 have left us with a lot of legitimate complaints and work to be done. But God is always calling us to look around us, to see when the dew leaves us, so that in the midst of our complaining, we don't miss our blessings around us. Recently, God reminded me to be grateful for the many blessings that I have through a homeless man selling the Berkeley Times. As I was leaving Berkeley Bowl, I saw this man sitting on his crate, uplifted, because I stopped by to buy his paper. Although he did not have as much materially as any of us, he was not complaining, but he looked at me with grateful eyes and in his own way of speaking said, "We woke up this morning. We have no reason to complain about that." Although there are reasons, he did not want me, he did not want us to miss the opportunity to be grateful for what we have. Yes, the good news of this community is that we are an Easter people, believing in the resurrections of this life and the one to come. Paul reminds us that in Christ we live this new life. We need not fear death because we will gain. We can be encouraged because God has called us to the vineyard and reminds us that it does not matter what time you come in, there is a place for each of us where the last and the first can be one. Today there is an invitation for you to come to the vineyard, to be a part of the community of God in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that God only gives us life in heaven and never in hell. It does not matter when we come or how we come. God's loving community is always here for all of us, the first and the last. We can rejoice today that God's grace is wide. You have a place